Wi-Fi. A cup of water. No, okay, it's spilled and it's getting wet. Okay, accidentally it was kicked.
It's good.
Okay. Hi. I mean, you know, we've all heard of the expression of adam nifalafi polasav, that a person's actions they take, certainly actions that you do repeatedly, they have consequences on ourselves. They have an influence, a negative unintended consequence as well. And if we go through, there are a few places in the Torah where we see that the Torah was concerned about this. The Torah understood that doing certain things will have a bad effect, a bad hashpah. And the Torah goes out of its way in different ways to compensate, to deal with that. L'mashal, a famous case is by Ir Nidachas and Re'ei. Torah says you have to go out and kill everyone. If 50 plus percent of the adult men in the city are Ovid of Eid Azara, Bahasra, you kill the entire city. It says 49% of the men are innocent. 100% of the women are innocent. All the kids, the people less than 13, they could be innocent. They're babes in arms. You got to kill them all. And it's a very, very, it's a terrible, it's out of context, it's a geschrecklicher thing. Look what you're doing. You know, what's the expression? War is Gehenna, man. The problem is, sometimes when you go to war, people bring it home with them. That is the expression, nothing else. So the Chavetz Chaim speaks out the psukim that after the tzivur of going to Ir Nidachas, the Torah says, V'nitin l'cha rachamam v'richamcha. I will give you compassion and you will be compassionate. In other words, doing this is a dispassionate, it's a cruel act. And it could have a tendency to make a person cruel. A person, adam nifalafi polasav, says the Torah, don't worry, it's not going to have an impact on you. I'm going to give you an injection of rachamim to overcome for the lack, for what you're doing over here, which seemingly in a box, it's not a pleasant act, it's a cruel act. We have another example of this where the Torah is concerned about our taking something that we are doing to act a certain action and its unintended consequences in this parsha also, in Bahar, near the end. Torah goes ahead and says that Torah talks about an eved. Person sells himself as an eved. The Torah says, lo b'acheichem b'nei Yisrael ish b'achiv lo yirdu b'ay b'farach. You're not allowed to go ahead and treat an Eved Ivri rough. You can't treat him like an Eved. You have to treat him differently. Then the Torah talks about Eved Kanani. There's another Pasuk, right near the end of the parasha. I meant to bring the Chumash up. The Pasuk says again, it's not Ubachechem B'nei Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Lo yirdu bo, Ubachechem B'nei Yisrael, Lo yirdu bo'i b'forach. You're not allowed to work them very hard. So why is the switch? It's literally the same words repeated again. Why do we have, don't work an Eved Ivri hard? Don't work an Eved Ivri hard. What's the purpose of the repetition? So the Chassid Yaivetz in Mishnayah says, same idea. It's true, I'm not allowed to work an Eved Ivri hard. But what about an Eved Kanani? Fakert, an Eved Kanani, it's politically incorrect, but you don't have to treat him so nicely. If we won't talk, people would only know how you can treat an Eved. You might be allowed to treat an Eved Kanani. You could say, Aseimi Veini Zanach. The Psukim say right here, never let him go. La'olam behem tavoidu. So you're allowed to work an Eved Kanani hard. You can be, I don't know if brutal is the right word, but you're allowed to treat him like an Eved. That's the reason why the Torah repeats it. It says, an Eved Ivri be nice to. La'ir d'boi b'farach. But then the Torah gives the 4 or 5 sukkim about a person who acquires an Eved Ivri, an Eved Kanani. And an Eved Kanani, you're allowed to be tough too. You're allowed to work hard. You're allowed to work till they can't work anymore. Therefore, the Torah has to go ahead. The Torah is concerned it might bleed into your hanhaga with your Eved Ivri. The Torah has to repeat, lo yirdu bo b'farach. And so but those two examples where there's a concern that your conduct might bleed into your otherwise acceptable behavior, all the areas of your life, those are where the things taken taken in context, or if you take it out of context, they're cruel things. Killing out a city of wiping out an Ir Nidachas, being treating an Eved Kanani badly. I mean, you know, in out of context, those are cruel, seemingly cruel things. Torah has to warn you or protect you from that. I'm going to show you that we see in this week's Parsha, we see in Bahar, that you're doing something that's not cruel. You're doing something that's a maisa tzidkis, that people will be mashabeach you, that it requires mesiras nefesh of a sort to be mekayim, and you walk away from it a better person, and yet there's also a concern of a negative unintended consequence. Parsha starts off with the laws of Shemitah v'Yovel. After Shemitah v'Yovel, Torah then goes to several parshiyos about a person who loses his money, a person who becomes financially less well. And the Torah talks about how you deal with them. The lashon in the pasuk is v'chiyimach achicha imach. I mean, the Torah uses this many, many times. When your brother becomes lessened, when he becomes poor. And the Torah talks about how you deal with him. There are several parshiyos. What's the smichas? So the Gemara in Erechin says the smichas is coming to tell me the consequences of dealing with Perishvias. You have the laws of Shemitah v'Yovel. A person during Shemitah v'Yovel can start thinking, you know, I have no cost for the to acquire the produce. I just go into someone's, it's not his field. I can go and take it for free, and I'll do schiris with it. Even if they won't pay for it this year, I'll save it for after Shemitah, after Yovel. A person can go ahead and, you know, make a killing because it doesn't cost them anything. Therefore, the Torah says, oh yeah? Right away, the Torah puts a parsha, v'chiyimach achicha imach, when your brother becomes poor, to warn you, oh yeah? You think you're going to make money by dealing with perishvias? You're going to become poor. And you're going to have to, the first step in the series is, you're going to have to sell your metaltolin. And then, if you learn your lesson and you stop, good. But if you don't, the next step is, you might have to sell your lands, your karka. If you learn your lesson, good. If not, you're going to have to then go to sell your house. You're going to go ahead and borrow money beribis. You're going to go ahead and sell yourself as a slave. You're going to go ahead and sell your daughter as a slave. Says the Gemara, that's the smichas. You have the laws of Shemitah v'Yovel, followed by the series of progressively worse cases of a person becoming financially distressed, to teach you, you violate this, it's gone, this could, it could go from here, 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 all the way down. Therefore, don't do business with Perishvias. That's the way the Gemara explains it. So Yaakov Yosef, the first and only chief rabbi of New York City, about not arguing in the Gemara, he wants to say another pshat, another lesson you can learn from the smichas of the laws of Shemitah v'Yovel, and right after that we have the laws of v'chiyimach achicha imach, when your brother becomes impoverished. But he starts off with a medrash. On those words, v'chiyimach achicha imach, when your brother becomes impoverished, the medrash cites a pasuk in Tehillim, Ashrei maskil eldol biyom roi malatei Hashem. Praised is the person who is a maskil, who uses his seichel on behalf of someone poor. On the day of evil, Hashem will save him. So the words are Ashrei maskil eldol. Praised is someone who is a maskil on behalf of the poor person. So his kasha, the way he puts the kasha is, it's a funny thing, a maskil is generally, even though the shayrish of the word is seichel, but we certainly use maskil as a pejorative term. I mean, since the Enlightenment, the Haskalah movement, where people, you know, it's the age of science and reason, where people, you don't have to believe in the Sfarim, in the books. We're intelligent people. That's what we call a maskil. So it's a funny thing. Ashrei maskil eldol, a person's supposed to be a maskil. Is that true? That's the way he asks the kasha. You can ask it a simpler way also. Why doesn't the pasuk simply say, Ashrei, praised is the person who is kind, who's merachem on a poor person. Or praised is the one who is mischased, who shows compassion on a poor person. What's Ashrei maskil eldol? Praised is the person who is maskil, who's wise, who's intelligent on behalf of a poor person. What's the intent of that? So Yaakov Yosef says something very interesting. He says, if you look at the world and the creatures that we have in the world. Come on in. No, not you. No, I'll need to drink later. No. If you look at the animal kingdom, you look at the creatures in the world, you have some animals Because we have opposites. We have, like, there's joy and there's sadness. There's a sense of security and there's a sense of anxiety, fear. You know, there are opposites. Now, in the animal kingdom, he writes, you have certain creatures that are all this or all that. He has, Moshe, you have a hyena mitzachek. You have a laughing hyena. It's a certain animal that always seemingly has a smile on its face. So you have certain birds that, if you listen to the song of the bird, it's always a mournful dirge, like a very sad song. Some animals are always sad. Some animals seem to be always happy. By human beings, it's not that way. We're not tethered to one side. We can run the spectrum and at times be happy, at times be sad, at times be this, at times be that. It says, let's take the following midos, the two opposites. On one hand, we have betochin, a sense of security, and then a sense of daiga, worry and concern. So there's betochen and daiga. He says, what's supposed to happen is, you're supposed to have daiga for the other person, but betochen for yourself. Because when it comes to the other person, you're supposed to, don't worry, the Rabbanan Shlom is going to take care of me, I'm not going to worry about it, I don't have to do anything criminal, it'll all work out. Betochen is what you're supposed to have for yourself. Daigas, that's what you're supposed to have for someone else on the other person's behalf. You have to take care of their needs and not say, don't worry, the Rabbanan Shlom will make it work out. But very often we get it the other way around. We're worried about our own gashmias. As Reb Chaim Volozhin says, we're worried about our own gashmias and other people's ruchnias. The way he writes it is, for our own gashmias, guy just had a kid? Oh my goodness, how am I going to put him through graduate school? Because we're worrying about what's going to be, so for ourselves, we're worried about gashmias. For the other person, writes Reb Chaim Volozhin, we're worried about other people's ruchnias. In other words, how could he do that? Doesn't he, that's not, he's eating from that hashgacha, or why doesn't he know better? Because so when do certain things bother us about other people? It's about their ruchnias. And our ruchnias doesn't bother ourselves. What bothers us about ourselves is our level of gashmias. And it's the wrong way, it's the other way, it should be the other way around. Says so. Yaakov Yosef says, "Yeah, what we're supposed to do is, yeah, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, yeah, right, from Vilna, later New York, yeah." So Yaakov Yosef right says, "This is in his Sefer Kehil. This is in it's brought in the Sefer Kehilas Yitzchak." It's a quotes him very often. Yaakov Yosef writes, That's the concern that the Torah was addressing over here. A person who goes through Shemitah V'Yovel, a person who lives a life where they've taken a year or more off of work. They're reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nisim, on the Bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After that time, and a person changes, a person grows. The person walking into Shemitah where he's concerned, what's it going to be? Let's say it's his first time, and he's never experienced it before. You know, he's nervous. By the time it's over, and Betzivesius Berchasi, and you see the Nisim that happened, the person's sense of Betochen is fantastic. And he has nothing to worry about. If a guy comes up, the problem is, what about the other person? If a friend comes over and says, hey, I need money, I can't pay rent, help me out. You're worried about rent? I just went for 2 years without a job. There's a concern, there's a fear that you might impute your level of newfound ruchnias, your madrega that you've gotten to as being a real Baal B'tochen, you might start imposing that on the other person. That's what the Torah says. There's a law of Shemitah V'Yovel. The Torah is worried about that. Says the Torah, there's Shemitah V'Yovel, which is going to teach you you're living a life of a B'tochen 101. But afterwards, the Torah right away puts in, at the same time, V'chiyimach, v'chiyimach, if your brother becomes poor. Don't let your frumkeit that you've had over here impact the way you treat someone else who's needy by saying, it's okay, it'll be all work out. And therefore the Torah goes through all the types of things where a person could become in, where a person suffers financial straits. He has to sell his metaltalin, buy it from him. Give him a good deal. Don't rip him off. He has to sell his nechosim, his property. let him be goyle. In certain cases, let him buy it back, let him pawn it back. He has to sell his house, there are ways you treat that. He has to borrow money, don't do it beribish. If he has to sell himself, that doesn't mean you could demean the person and think less of a person. So what the Torah is writing, these halachas, is to counter the madrega, the beautiful madrega that a person can come through after a year or two of a shmita v'yovel. Don't come home with that. It's the veteran, we're afraid that they're going to bring home the war to the city, and you have to go ahead and say v'nitin l'charachamim. Here also, the frum person who learns betochen, they have to make sure that they don't put that on the other person. And the Chaim V'lajin, it's also brought in the Sefer Kilas Yitzchak, but he writes it in Parshas Nasai. Says, not only if you're going to go ahead and give to the other person, and you'll take care of the other person, are you being a nice guy? And you're not using your frumkeit chas v'shalom against someone else, but it will affect the hanhaga HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have with you. If you will listen to this, if my gashmius is his ruchnius, or whatever it says on the sheet, if you will treat the other person needfully. I forgot the best part. That's the pshat, ashrei maskil eldol. When your brother becomes poor, says the Medrash, ashrei maskil eldol. Praise is the person who is a maskil in regards to a poor person. A maskil's wrong. You're not supposed to be a maskil in that sense of the word. You're supposed to have bitachon and believe in nisim. There's one time when you're not supposed to be a person who relies on nisim, where you're supposed to be a skeptic. That's when it comes to another person. If he doesn't have it right now, if he doesn't know where the money's coming from, I can't tell him. Have betochen, it'll be okay. Medav zayin a maskil. For the other person, then that's when you have to be a maskil. Asher in maskil el dol, for a poor person. And that, Reb Chaim V'lajin says, impacts the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us. The Gemara in Bracha says that the Malachim tainu to Hashem. It says in the Torah, Shalayisapanim v'leikach shoychat, that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't play favorites. Yet in Birchas Kahanim, what do we say? Yisa Hashem panav elecha. Hashem should, shine His countenance upon you. Somehow that Hashem should treat you favorably. So make up your mind. Is it Shalayisapanim or Yisa Hashem panav elecha? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers that, how could I not? Because it says in the Torah, V'achalta v'savaltu v'irachta, that you have to be zat, and then you bench, that you only have to bench if you really are full. V'heimadakta k'nalatzman ad k'zayis v'ad k'beya. They're machmer, and even if they only ate a k'zayis, even if they only ate a k'beya, which is not k'dei svia. So, it says of Chaim V'lajin, two words stand out. V'heimadakta kim al atzman. Ad kazayas for ad kabeya. It could have said the hemadaktikin ad kazayas for ad kabeya. Says a Chaim V'lajin, no. That's the point. When are they makbid? When are they willing to deprive themselves and be mastapik b'muat? And that's the hemadaktikin al atzman. For themselves, they're willing to do without, and they're not going to have complaints. I'm going to give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though I don't have a lot. But when it comes to the other person, no. You give biyad rechava. The Gemara says that even a poor person, you have to give him like a kikar, one loaf a day, which is well more than a kazayas or a kabeya. For the other person, I mean, the way he writes it is, some people might be stingy on themselves, they're medaktik, and they eat only a kazayas and a kabeya. That's enough in order to potter themselves from giving the other person more. Why do I have to give you more? That's enough for me. No, the hey medaktik and alatzman, the frumkeit, the extra degree that you go, that's for you, but for the other person, you have to go ahead. And when you'll do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will meet a keneged mita. I went the extra yard for the other person. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will go the extra yard for me. And that's the pshat that Rabbi Yaakov Yosef says. It's Kedaita. There's another, tangentially, or just as an aside, there's another pshat, beautiful pshat, you could say in explaining Ashrei Maskil Eldol. Again, the pasuk says, V'chayimach v'chayimach, when your brother becomes poor, Ashrei Maskil Eldol. Praise is the person who's a maskil on behalf of the Dal. So I saw in a sefer, picking it up. It's There's a sefer, Melitze Eish, from the Debrett Ziner, the Debrett Ziner, of Moshe Stern, and he has a brother, of Bezalel Stern. So they had a father who wrote a set of svarim, Melitze Eish. It discusses who died, what day, who the yortzites are, but he doesn't just give the yortzites. He ends up bringing very interesting verter, or sayings, things that they said in their life, that on Mamishnat Benimsa in other svarim. So he brings from Rav Alexander HaKoyen Steinberger, who Av Bezdin of Kamarin, Kamarna, says a nice thing. Avada, if a person's in front of me and they need money, I'm going to go ahead and help the person. But there's a certain type of needy person who it's difficult to give. And that's the person who hasn't fallen yet. That's the person who you need to help prevent him from falling, which is really what the Pasuk says. V'hechazak the boy, you shall support him. Says Rashi, the madrega is to help him not fall, to become the poor person. I think the Rambam says that's the greatest madrega of tzedakah, that you give a person before it's too late and then he's an ani. You help him maintain what he has. So he says that's the pshat. And he says that's the pshat of nasein titein v'layera levavcha besitchalai. What's the double lush of nasein titein? Number one, give to a person who needs. And also, give even to a person who doesn't seemingly need. But if he doesn't have the right infusion of cash at the right time, this deal can fall apart and his whole business can fall under. And that's your heart shouldn't feel bad when you're giving it to him, because there are certain people when it might be a legitimate need of tzedakah to save the person from something worse, it's difficult to give the person. I remember my father's a gezuntzain in Los Angeles. He's involved in different tzedakahs. There was a person in LA who I grew up 35 years ago. He was a wealthy man. Everyone knew he's a wealthy man. He lived on like that street. He's a wealthy man. And apparently he had fallen on hard times. He was in diamonds. He was a gem diamond dealer. And he needed a car. His Cadillac, because Avada, that was the car you drove. That was a hush of a car in those days. His Cadillac was falling apart. He needed a new car. And the decision by the Rabbanim was, by him raise the extra money, instead of the 20,000 whatever to get a Chevy or a Ford, he needs a Cadillac. Because if he wouldn't be driving a Caddy, people are going to understand he's driving a Shema, this type of a car, he's not doing well, I'm not going to do business with him, and this is mamash a chesed for that person. That he says, that the Av Bezdin of Kamarna says, that's the pshat. Ashrei maskil el dol. There's a time when you have to use seichel. He says, it's in fact, the lashon is belashon asid. It says v'chiyimach achicha. It doesn't say v'chiyimach achicha. Your brother has become lessened. V'chiyimach. He will become lessened, even though it's only something that's an eventuality or a possibility. V'hechazak debay. Help him out now. Ashrei maskil el dol. Be someone who has forzichtigkeit and forethoughtful to realize that I have to go ahead and help this person. Okay. All right, let's talk about Shavuos a little bit, if I may. If we look at the korban on Shavuos we're being a shtei alechem, it's a unique korban, it's the rachis, Rashi says in Vayikra, it's the first korban with the new crop of wheat. Even though the korb minchas oimer, the oimer is the first korban with a new crop, but that's se'oirim. So the korban on Shavuos, the korban sibur of shnei alechem, is the first one from wheat, and it's also brought chametz, unlike any other korban sibur. So there's a couple interesting things that you could take out of this. One void is the Ralbag. Ralbag asks, Levi ben Gershon says, we know that chametz, however the darshanim detach up what chametz is, it's the sa'or shebe'isa, it represents gaiva, elevation, hisnasus, but there's something wrong about chametz that the onset of Pesach is, we can't have chametz. We can't have chametz, it's wrong, it's bad. The Shalon, the Alshech explain, that's what we need for Kabbalah Satorah. Because starting Pesach, leaving Mitzrayim, the whole Yemei Asfira, is the preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. So to be towards Torah, you have to work in Anova. Moshe was the Anov Mekol Adam, he was Mekabal the Torah to the greatest degree. The Gemara says you should learn from Har Sinai, or the Sneh, that's at least Har Sinai. Torah is given on a Mokum Namach. Torah is given to a person who's humble. Therefore, you have to, at least the Alshech point says, that's why Pesach can't have chometz. Points out the Ralbag. I mean, well before. The Ralbag says that Oibazoi, Shavuos, is the least likely day of the year to have a carbon tzibur of chametz. If the whole problem is that somehow chametz is something that's inimical to the anava that we're supposed to have on Shavuos, of, you know, for Kabbalah Satayra, how come on the day of Kabbalah itself, that's the one day when we have a carbon chametz? It's Rabbi's kasha. So he says that avada, we start off the Yemei Sfira, we start off Pesach, there's no chametz. You have to go cold turkey. You have to total cessation of chametz. You have to go to one extreme. But that's not the goal. The goal isn't to never be the person who has chametz. The goal is to use the Yemei Sfira to somehow grow and steig and develop your madrega, to go from the Memcha Shari Tumah to the Memcha Shari Kedusha, to the point where, I wish I was able to fit it into the, you can have your cake and eat it too, because you're able to have the chametz, and it's not gonna, if you have a better way of saying it, I'd be curious, cute way of saying it. Because the ultimate isn't not to have chametz. I should never have chametz. That's what you have to start off in the beginning. But it's a process, and that's what you need to kickstart the process to the point where you could have chametz on Shavuos. You can have the chametz, and you could still have Torah. And it's really very similar to the Alshech in Parshas Nasai. In Parshas Nasai by a Nazir, famous vort, a Nazir cannot drink wine. Pasuk says that when the Naziris is over, he brings his karbanis, and then he has to drink wine. But the Lashon in the Pasuk is, Va'achar yishta ha-Nazir yayin. Then the Nazir drinks wine. For the Alshech, it shouldn't, he's not a Nazir, he's an ice Nazir. He brought his karbanis, the main Naziris is over. It should say then the ex-Nazir, the former Nazir, says the Alshech, the goal of Naziris isn't that, a person has a drinking problem, he had a reason to become a Nazir, never have wine again. Stay away from wine. That's not the point. The point is to use the Yemei of the Yemei Naziris to develop a Kedusha within yourself, that after the Naziris, you could be drinking wine and still maintain the Kedushas Nazir. Va'achar yishta ha-Nazir yayin. You're supposed to have the same strength and whatever it is that Naziris gives, and be able to drink the wine. You're supposed to be city stand out. You be there on Shavuos with the chametz, and it's a shterek minute, and it's not a problem. And probably, 12-step groups and AA with this. If a person has an emes, a drinking problem, this is not the way. But Naziris is probably not just for a person who has that type of a drinking problem. So that's one lesson we can learn from the Shtei Alechem, from the Omer. From the Shtei Alechem, that it's chametz, and you could live that way also. You can live, the goal is to be able to have the chametz and live as a frumer lechayid also. Not just hiding away and never having anything. There's another limud we have from there. To express this, I'd like to connect the upcoming Yom Tov of Shavuos with the Yom Tov, with the holiday we just passed. That being the holiday of Mother's Day, of course. Okay. The Kesher, very strong Kesher between Shavuos and Mother's Day. The Shavuos is called many things in the Torah. It's called Yom HaBikurim, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaKotzir. It's called everything other than what we associate Shavuos with, which is Zman Matan Torah Seinu. It's the time of the giving of the Torah. But the Torah doesn't tell us that seemingly anywhere. That's merumas in the Yom HaShishi back in Bereishis. So why does the Torah leave out in any discussion, in all the parashas dealing with Shavuos, whether it's Pinchas Re'ei, Emor, it doesn't mention that Shavuos is the Zman Matan Torah Seinu. Isn't that, that's the Iker. So I think the best way to explain this is with a letter. It's getting harder. People don't remember who this is. With a letter that Ann Landers, or Dear Abby, one of them, wrote, used to always publish before Mother's Day. The letter went something like this. It would say, Dear Ann, my son, the prominent attorney, the successful doctor, he's going to pick me up on Mother's Day and we're going to go to this fine restaurant. He'll give me a dozen long stem roses. We're going to go out to a theater and have the best box seats. Then he'll take me home and give me a loving kiss goodnight, and then I won't see the bum for another year. Because the problem with Mother's Day is that the florists make the money, the greeting card companies make the money, but the mothers lose out. Because when you set aside a day to celebrate something, people will go all out. But really every day should be Mother's Day. Says the Kli Yoker in last week's Parsha, the same, Mamre says the same point by Shavuos. And he says it by Rosh Hashanah also. says, if the Torah is going to go ahead and set aside a day to celebrate the giving of the Torah, we will go all out. We'll have Torah parades, we'll have Torah-thons, we'll learn Torah all night long. And then when Shavuos is over, we'll take the Torah and pack it away with our Pesach dishes and our Sukkot decorations and go on in our life. But that's not what Kabbalah Satara is. Kabbalah Satara is something that is an ongoing commitment. The Kabbalah that I made yesterday to live an Erelecha proper life might not help me today. The Gemara says, "Bechol yom tiyu beinecha kechadashim." You always have to be mekabel. You always have to make and recommit yourself to Torah. That's why the Torah doesn't give any play to the fact that Shavuos is that time, because you might do that then to the exclusion of the rest of the year. And he says the same thing, the Kli Yakar. That's why the Torah doesn't say that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Adin. Because if you knew that were the Yom Adin, you knew that's your court date. I mean, I would have maybe said, if you know, Yom Kippur is funny. It's funny that he points out Yom Adin. Says, if you knew that your Yom Hadin, your court date is on Rosh Hashanah, is on Aleph Tishrei, okay, I'll wait till then and then I'll mount my defense. This way, he says, your whole, every day you live, you're in tshuva. Every day you are in Mekabel Torah. And he says, that's the lashon of the pasuk. The Torah says, how does the Torah describe the korban, the shtei halechem, the korban on Shavuos? V'hi kraftem mincha chadosh al Hashem. And there's no discussion of Shavuos or anything. V'hi kraftem, you shall offer mincha chadasha, a new mincha to Hashem, a new gift to Hashem. Says the Kli Yakar, that's the best way to describe what every day's Shavuos is supposed to be. Every day it's supposed to be a mincha chadasha, a new gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a new commitment, a new... Maybe that's the pshat why Shavuos is called Zman Matan Torseinu and not Zman Kabbalas Torseinu. In yeshiva, they would always, you know, you wish someone on Shavuos, you should be zeicha to a good Kabbalah Satayra. But that's not how we refer to it in davening. You know, it's Zman Matan Torseinu. Why the emphasis is Zman Matan Torseinu? Maybe the Vard is, because what happened on Shavuos uniformly, what happened for each and every one of us on Shavuos was in the Sina of Torah. But a Kabbalah of Torah, that's something, that's not only on Shavuos. The Kabbalah of Torah is for each and every day. It's not limited to one day in the year. There's a chiv to make a Kabbalah of Torah every single day. Maybe there's another way to explain why it's Zman Matan Torseinu, not Zman Kabbalah Torseinu. I thought I saw this pshat in the Sfasemes. I've been saying it over from Sfasemes for a while. I looked and I found the kasha in the Masifta Gemara, but I didn't see an answer. I didn't see an answer. If you look at the Gemara on Shabbos talking about Nesina Satoira, Gemara says, I think it's Rabbi Shulban Levi. I'm Rabbi Shulban Levi. I'll call Dibur v'Dibur Shiyotzim Apiyah Gvora Kofzu Poruchun Nishmasin Shel Yisrael. The Yidin and the Shamas left them. They died. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu brought down Tal and was Mechaya Mesa. Next line in the Gemara is the same. V'amer Bishua ben Levi. Same mandamar. I'll call Diba V'diba Shiyotzim Epir Gvora. Every word that was uttered from the mouth of the Holy One, Blessed Be He. Kavtsu Yisrael Lacharem Yud Beis Mil. The Yidin jumped back 12 mil. In fright, and the Malachim, they were all worn out, and the Malachim had to accompany them back to the front. Make up your mind. Did they drop dead, and then the Shamas leave them and they drop dead, or did they turn tail and run? Maybe the word is, they're both true, depending on who you were. There were some people who were so committed to be Mekabel the Torah, they were so willing to hear the Dvar Hashem, that they let the words penetrate absolutely, with no reservation. And for those people, the words overwhelmed them. They taka died, and Hashem had to be mechaya mesim. But there were other people, hagam, that they had all previously said nasa before nishma, but they held back a little bit. They were somewhat reserved. They kept their zone alarm. They kept They kept their force field up, so they hurt. And they didn't let the words in fully. For those people, they didn't die. They didn't let the words in completely. They turned around and ran away. That's why it would be Shavuos to be a Zman Matan Torseinu, not Zman Kabbalas Torseinu. Because the one thing that happened on Shavuos equally, uniformly, was the Nesina of the Torah. We all were given the Torah equally. But it was not this, you can't call it Zman Kabbalas Torah Seinu, the time of the Kabbalah of our Torah, because my Kabbalah was different than yours, which was different than yours. The Kabbalah was an individual thing, maybe. Okay. There's a long schmooze in the Sefer Torahs. What's it called over there? Torah Sa'adam, I think. Yeah? Torah Sa'adam from Rav Moshe Chavroni, one of the Rosh Hashivas in Chevron. He talks about what exactly are we supposed to do on Shavuos. Essentially, Shavuos is a Yom Tov without mitzvahs. No mitzvahs hayayim. Pesach has its mitzvahs. Yom Kippur has its mitzvahs. Yom Shana has mitzvahs. Sukkot has mitzvahs. Shavuos, there's seemingly, other than our korban sibur that's brought by the kahanim, what are we doing on Shavuos? Yeah, we stay up all night learning, you know, but if you really make the cheshbon, a good bachar in 2 days, in a regular weekday, could learn more hours in those 2 days than he does on a Shavuos. So what are we gaining, what are we getting out of Shavuos? What is the accomplishment? Is it just celebrating what happened then? So he has a long piece where his point is, that the avodas hayayim, or what you're supposed to do is make a new kabbalah, make a new commitment. Because it's not making a commitment, being mekabel something, being mekabel Torah, is not just something in words only. A kabbalah to learn Torah has an actual, a quantifiable, identifiable effect. He gives a couple examples you could have. Shmuel Hanavi, when he was 3 years old and he was brought to the Mishkan. Pasuk says, brought to Eli HaKoyin, and they wanted to kill him. Why did they want to kill him? Because he was Mar Halacha B'fnei Rabbi. The interesting thing is, he was 3 years old. But beyond that, Tosfos asks, he wasn't Eli's Talmud yet. He says Tosfos, well, if you're going to the Kabbalah to learn by someone, makes you into a Talmud of the Gadol Hador. I think that's how Tosfos puts it. So there, a Kabbalah, at least to learn by the Gadol, it's as if you're his Talmud already. A different example you can bring from this coming week's Parsha, by the Bnei Aharon. The Torah says, these are the children of Aaron and Moshe, Moshe and Aaron, and who does it list? It lists the Talmidim of Aaron. Doesn't mention Moshe's kids. So these are the children of Moshe and Aaron, and it lists, how are Aaron's children Moshe's Talmidim? Rashi brings, because anyone who teaches Torah to someone else, it's as if you gave birth to them. Interesting, okay, very fine, nice. But I think the Netziv in Hamak Dover, he points out, Naravan Aviyu, Lazar Visama, whoever the Bnei Aharon who we're dealing with, they hadn't learned Torah from Moshe yet. This pasuk is describing the day Moshe came down from Har Sinai with the second Luchos, if I'm not mistaken. They hadn't learned Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu yet. So how can you say they become Moshe's kids by dint of the fact that Moshe had taught them Torah? Says the Netziv, you're right, same thing. That a Kabbalah to learn Torah reckons you, turns you into someone who's his Talmud. But you see that it has, so there it's in the, by Shmuel, it's in a halachic sense. Over here, what? By Rish Lakish and Bamatzia. That's the raya that Rav Moshe Chavroni brings. By Rish Lakish and Bamatzia, Maisa with Rav Yochanan. Rish Lakish was the head of the Ganovim. Rav Yochanan was very good looking. Rish Lakish swam very quickly across the river to go ahead and hop him and mug him. And he sees him. He said, "You're so strong. You should give your strength to study Torah." And Rish Lakish said, "You're so attractive. You should give your beauty to women." Says Rav Yochanan to him, "I'm attractive, my sister is even more attractive, and if you'll be mekabel to learn Torah, I'll let you marry her." Gemara then says, it was hard for him to get back across the other side to get his weapons. So what happened? And Rashi, I think, I didn't look it up again. Rashi says that it's because Torah mateshes koicha shel adam. When you're mekabel Torah weakens a person. Weakens the strength of a person, but he didn't learn Torah yet. He only made the Kabbalah yet. Points out, that's what Rav Moshe Chavroni says, is our avoda on Shavuos. On Shavuos, we're supposed to go ahead and make a new commitment. Again, we make commitments all the time with words, but when you on Shavuos, or any time, Mustafa, you make a Kabbalah for Torah, it has a physical impact. It has a ruchnistic effect. It has, like this, a physical effect. It does something to you and can have repercussions, obviously seemingly good ones, for the rest of the year. So by making an emes a kabbalah, you're doing life something, you're changing your very essence, and that's what you're supposed to do in Shavuos. That's the piece that he says. I once told over the Gemara in Bar Metzia by Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan to some boys, and they said, "Avizai Rabbi, we don't want to learn Torah. We don't want to be Mekabel Torah, because who wants to become weak? Why should we? If Torah Matesh is Karcha Shel Adam, why should we go through with this?" Baruch Hashem, I had a good answer. There's a Zayar, it's in the Medrash Hanelam in Bereishis. It's in the Sefer Zayar Chodesh says a beautiful taich, a novel taich, and a pasuk in Kehelas. Pasuk says, and I really think, guys and everyone, anyone who has children, anyone who has talmidim, anyone who's in a position where you can be mashpi on someone else, this vort to me means a lot. Pasuk says, "Li etza v'sayshia, ani bina v'li gvora." With me is etza. With me is advice and soshia, like Yeshua, salvation. With me is advice and salvation. I am strong. I am wise. And with me is strength. Li etza v'sayshia, ani bina v'li gvora. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu talking. So the Zayir touches it up like this. Novel touch. Says what the pasuk is describing is two levels of Torah, two types of Torah. There's one type of Torah that a person does as a beginner, as a novice, as a bacher, when they need guidance, they need etza, they need help. And that type of Torah is very, very hard. It's Torah matesh is karcha shel adam. It's shvach, I don't get it, I don't see my hatzlacha, where are the payers, I want to give up, it's boring. That's one level of Torah. But at a certain point, when a person gets it, when it starts clicking, and you see the payers from your Torah, it becomes enjoyable, it's thrilling, it energizes you. You realize, oh wow, we missed lunch. That's the pshat in pasuk. Li etza v'sayshia. When the Torah is by me a Torah of etza, where I need guidance, I'm a bacher, I'm a beginner, and I need etzas from others, v'sayshia. Meloshen Tosh, Torah Mateshes, Kaycha Shel Adam. So when the Torah is a Torah of Eitza, V'sashia, it weakens me, it's hard. But Ani Bina, when I have understanding, when I finally start chopping and it starts clicking, V'Ani Gvora, I become strong, I have might. After, point is, it's hard, but it will get better. It becomes different. It changes. It gets easier. It becomes geschmack to the point where I have strength and I can go weiter. Just to say over one more quick thing. If there's one mitzvah hayayim, which mentioned before really seemingly isn't here, you could kibitz, you can joke around and say there's one, what's the mitzvah shavuos? You have to have, what? You have to have cheesecake. That's the avodah hayom. That's shavuos. But I want to tell you, if anyone believes that, and you have cheesecake, I want to explain to you all right now that you're having the wrong kind of cheesecake. You're not doing it the right way. And I'm going to tell you the right way to do cheesecake. I have to get the paper. I don't know who says this. One minute. Sorry. Who is this? Rav Asher Anshel Mil Yehuda. Yeah, okay. Gemara asks a stira. Taisus asks Akasha. One Gemara says, Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz miyir shemayim. Everything is in Hashem's hands except for yir shemayim. The one thing I can determine is whether I'm going to be an erlich yid and make the right decision. On the other hand, there's a Gemara that says, Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz mitzinim upachem. Everything is in Hashem's hands except for chills and heat. In other words, I can get myself sick. I can take a shower and go out in the middle of the winter and catch a double pneumonia. Sinim upachem. So make up your mind. So Taisus asks the Kashin Ksubis elsewhere, and Taisus says they're talking about different things. One is talking in ruchniyistika things. One is talking about your midas, ruchniyistika things. Everything's in Hashem's hands, you know, except whether you're going to be Yor Shemayim. The other one's talking about physical ailments. You could get yourself sick. They're talking about two different things. But the Sefer of Zikne She'eres Yisrael brings a very nice pshat. Just like this, that they're saying the same thing. Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz miyir shemayim, and Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz mitzinim apachem are saying the exact same thing. How? Because at every venture, at every turn where I have a Yetzirah in front of me, where I'm faced with a nisayon. The mashal, let's say it's a nisayon to not do a mitzvah. As I have a mitzvah, I have to get out of bed. The Yetzirah is going to try and cool me down and deaden me and like stay in bed, take it easy, is going to make you all sluggish. Your avodah then is to be mechamim yourself, is to energize yourself, is to excite yourself, to have a little lebedekite. On the other hand, if the Yetzirah is trying to get you to do an aveira, the Yetzirah in that case is trying to be mechamim, the other way around. Then the Yetzirah is being mechamim you, come on, do it, get all the hits, then you have to go ahead and take the proverbial cold shower and cool yourself down. So at every juncture, whether it's for a mitzvah, whether it's to not do an aveira, to do a mitzvah, to overcome and do a mitzvah, I have to either excite myself, heat myself up, and overcome the Yetzer's resistance, or I have to cool myself down to overcome the Yetzirah's, trying to light a fire underneath me. That's the pshat. Hakol bidei shemayim chutz miyira shemayim. Everything is in your hands except whether you will be boicher b'toiv, whether you will be an emissary or shemayim and choose to do the mitzvah and overcome to do the mitzvah and not give in to do the aveira. That's hakol bidei shemayim chutz mitzinim u'pachim. You have that facility, that ability to heat yourself, to give yourself, to chill yourself down, to deaden your impulses and not to do the aveira. Or you have the ability to be mechamim, pachim, to heat yourself up, and I'm going to go ahead and do the mitzvah, notwithstanding that I have a lot of... So it's the same thing, he says. But how does this talk about cheesecake? So I saw, found in a sefer from Rav Usher Anshel Miller. Usher Anshel Yehuda Miller. In the sefer Lechem Usher. It says a Maritika thing. Rambam says, these two qualities of heating ourselves up to overcome the Yetzirah, deadening our impulses, and cooling ourselves down against the Yetzirah trying to get us all tzehitzed, those are the qualities of honey and milk. Why do we have chalav on Shavuos? So everyone quotes the pasuk, dvash v'chalav tachas l'shoinech. Everyone focuses on the dvash, on the chalav. Says dvash, that honey, Torah, is like honey and milk under the tongue. What's special about honey and milk? Rambam in Hilchas Mada says, Deus, the Rambam says, that when a child is young, you should not give him honey, because honey excites the person. Honey increases, energizes the metabolism, and a kid anyway is rambunctious. A kid is labedic to begin with. For a kid, you give chalav. Chalav cools a person down. When a person is kvar zokain, that's when they should have honey, because honey gets the blood flowing. Honey heats the body up. Person's old, everything slowed down, and their blood is cold. Heat yourself. Honey, Torah is compared to devash v'chalav tachas l'shoinech, because those are the properties that Torah has. Torah is the dava. Torah is our special gift we have. That with it, it is like honey and milk. We are able to, it can help us like milk, cool ourselves down, slow ourselves down. Don't have foresight, don't do the aveir. It can, like honey, be mechamim our body, warm us up, and help us overcome the Yetzirah that's telling us, don't do it, stay in bed. So that's dvash v'chalav tachas l'shonich. That's the segula. So if anyone's making a cheesecake with honey this year, I'll be happy to give you my address afterwards. But I'll just say one last thing. There was a rav, Chaim Gibber, used to live here. He lives in Minneapolis. His wife's father was Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Berger. He said, that's the same thing why we bring on karbanos. For a carbon, what do we put on the carbon? We put some of the blood and the chalev, the blood and the fat of every carbon. Because any time, from a carbon chatas, any time a person sinned, was chayte, and did an aveira, he did it in one of two ways. Either he was too, he didn't excite himself up enough, he didn't have the zrizus, the lebedekai to do the right thing, or he didn't cool himself down, and he gave in to the Yetzirah and did it. That's why we put it on the Mizbeach, dvash, the dam and chalav. Dam is be'etzem. Dam is warm. It's flowing. It's moving. Chalav is fat. It's inert, so to speak. It stays there. It's solid. It doesn't move. Because what we're trying to remind ourselves is, point out, I made a failing in, I didn't act like I should. I didn't act like my blood properly. Let me just read this one last thing, half a paragraph. And that's a great point of view. The person who sinned has failed in one of these arenas. Either he did not overcome his temptation by slowing down and cooling it, or he failed to light a fire and take action. Either his blood or his chalav has not served their purpose. To win any battle, one needs correct armament. The Torah is telling the sinner, sprinkle the blood, burn the chalav. Remember that you did not take advantage of the strength within. Hashem has supplied us with all the tools we need for the job. It is up to us to make proper use of them. HaKol B'Dei Shemayim, Chutz Mi Yir HaShemayim.